Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to NIIT Limited Q2 FY18 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us for this call where we'll be discussing the results for the second quarter of financial year 2017-18 for the period ending September 30th. I have with me the whole management team. I have Mr. P. Rajendran, the Joint Managing Director, Sapnesh Lalla, the CEO, who as a CEO is attending this call and addressing us for the first time. I have Prakash Menon, who leads the skills and careers business. I have Gavin Desbrio, who leads the schools business, and I also have here Shailesh and Devendra Chadha, who lead the corporate learning business. And then I have Kapil Saurabh, who leads the investor relations, Arjun Shankar, who leads all the management functions, and Amit Roy, who's the CFO. And Mr. Rajan Venkataraman, who's the Chief Digital Officer. So we have the whole management team here, and we would be discussing the results. Without further ado, I would like to hand you over to Sapnesh as he addresses his first investor call as the CEO of the company.
Thank you, Vijay. Thank you for the opportunity, and thanks all for joining. Please note that the numbers that I will discuss on this call are as per the new Ind AS accounting standard and not comparable to the earlier reported numbers last year. However, for sake of analysis, we have provided and will continue to provide this fiscal year the comparison with IGAAP numbers. We will also provide Ind AS numbers for the previous year for a comparison purpose. As you can imagine, I've completed 60 days as the CEO of NIIT, and this is my first set of results. Thanks for the opportunity, but also a baptism by fire. I will report results which show interesting contrasts. The corporate learning group has done remarkably well this past quarter by taking in an order intake of over $32.9 million. It added three new MTS customers, the first one a global FMCG giant and two leading top 10 engineering conglomerates based out of Europe. We also had two substantial expansions in our existing relationships. We now have 38 active managed training services customers, and as I've said earlier, each one of them is a leader in their respective industry segments. This customer acquisition has grown our revenue visibility to approximately $195 million, and that was 32% up on a year-on-year basis. The corporate learning business continues to deliver on the trajectory that we projected. On a constant currency basis, it has grown 14% on a year-on-year basis, and its margin is at 16%. The EBITDA margin is at 16%, owing to a favorable revenue mix and some operating leverage. The skills and career business had an extremely challenging quarter. It showed negative growth of 22% in revenue. However, the team did a remarkable job by maintaining the profitability at 3% level with the profitability in the same period last year while they saw negative growth in revenue. The negative growth in revenue was predominantly seen and was affected in India by changes in the hiring and training plans of many of our banking customers, as well as the transitions that many of our large customers as well as retail customers saw in the taxation system. We are starting to see some green shoots, specifically in the reskilling space with some of our IT customers, as we start seeing them investing in their people initiatives. I think we have opportunities for a recovery in the second half of the year, and our endeavor will be to bring this business back to growth in the second half of the year, starting in Q3. That's the quarter ending December. We are continuing to see traction in our online business. The online business grew 25% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. It has now done bookings worth 70 million INR, has more than 1,200 students. Last quarter, more than 1.5 million unique visitors came to the training.com site. These are laudable numbers for any online education site. Our schools business continued with its planned ramp down of government contracts. In the past quarter, we've completed one government contract. In the last four quarters, we've completed two government contracts, which on a run rate basis gave us approximately $100 million of revenue per quarter. In the past, the last remaining government schools contract will end in approximately 1 year. Our go-forward IP-related business now constitutes 73% of the total schools business, and we added 109 new school contracts in the last quarter. Overall, as we've reported, the revenue stood at 208 crores with an EBITDA margin of 9% at 117.8 crores, and PAT grew 18% on a YOY basis. Oh, I'm sorry. If I said 17.8 million, that was wrong. I meant 17.8 crores. In concluding my prepared remarks, I would say the CLG business continues to grow and at its trajectory of approximately 15% on a year-on-year basis. The skills and careers business is expecting to start seeing growth starting Q3. The schools business is continuing to be an IP-led business. The school segment also will add new products to its portfolio. Overall, now switching from business operations to the balance sheet. Overall, the balance sheet continues to be healthy. The next fixed assets down to 204.3 crores from 204.7 crores in Q1. DSO on overdue receivables at 41% against 42% in the last quarter. Slight improvement. Overall DSO at 76 days against 75 in the last quarter. Net debt at 459 million, up 57 million compared to the last quarter, but down 459 million compared to the same quarter last year. Our headcount grew from 2,262 in Q1 to 2,425, predominantly on the back of new contracts and transitions with the corporate learning business and investments in sales in the schools, skills and career business, as well as the schools business. With that, I would end my prepared comments and we would open up the call for any questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Requesting all participants to restrict their question to two per participant. If time permits, we will come back to you should you have any follow-up. The first question is from the line of Ganesh Shetty, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. This is Ganesh Shetty. Yes, sir. What I observe from the results is our associate performance and our CLG performance continue to be very robust, whereas, you know, our skill and career group is still bleeding and is not performing as per our expectation. Every quarter we will have some or other type of challenges, and we have been undergoing restructuring mainly in the skill and career business itself. Still the challenges are being with us for quite a long time. So is there any, you know, thinking process going on regarding further restructuring or further, you know, improvement in this part of our business, which is really, you know, a cause of worry for investors? Can you please throw some light on this, sir?
I think what you said accurately describes the past. I think to some extent it is also the nature of the training business. The business is deeply connected with economic ups and downs with our customers. But when things go down, they go up as well. As you are aware, training is a key enabler for any industry to grow. So while we saw some challenges with banks because of shifting decisions, but at the end of the day, banks will want to improve their operations. They will want to improve customer service. They will want to achieve growth. And to do that, they will need to train and skill and enable their human capital. So overall, we expect our business to grow. On the other hand, in IT, new skills are needed. As I pointed out a little bit earlier, we are starting to see green shoots as organizations figure out which skills are needed, what's most important to compete in the digital era. Organizations are realizing it. We have been proactive and launched many programs. Some of them are starting to see traction. So I see it as a transitionary phenomena where, because of many transitionary issues, we've seen a dip, but I think we will recover from it. And as I pointed out, we see a recovery in Q3 and Q4.
Yes, my second question is regarding our people addition this quarter. In spite of dip in revenues in skill and career business, we still have good number of people on board. And will it be affecting our Q3 expenses on employee? Can you please throw some light on this, sir, and how we can leverage on people's strength in NIT Limited? That's all from me, sir. All the best.
Thank you. That's a great question and a valid one. I did want to point out that, as I mentioned, the predominant number of people additions were in the corporate business, which is showing robust growth. And also, as I mentioned, the skills and career group did a remarkable job in containing costs and actually have released headcount rather than adding headcount. So I expect the cost basis to continue at low levels and not work with too many additions from a skills and career business. We are continuing to invest substantially in adding to our management team. We are strengthening our product development and enablement department by bringing in somebody who has great experience. Similarly, we are adding strength in our operations management department to ensure that we are able to leverage the opportunities in front of us and start growing.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
The current dispensation at the center, it is very clear that they have not been able to do much with the job, with the job scenario. They have even changed the minister in charge of skill development. So do you see any change in mood from in Delhi as far as the skill development is concerned?
I think that's an interesting question, and we can speculate on it. Maybe I'll let Vijay answer that question because he's deeply connected with NASSCOM.
Well, that is, I think the IT industry is, the important question is new jobs creation will remain a question mark, though there are, as you know, task forces being set up by the government at every, latest one being by Niti Aayog, where they are looking for what kind of jobs of the future should the education system cater for. And I'm sure all those, every single discussion which is happening is that digital technologies will be all pervasive. Banking will be more technology than banking. Technology, of course, is becoming very, very majorly influenced by technology, and even manufacturing and other disciplines are getting affected by digital technologies, automation, and so on and so forth. So new jobs may be less in the short term, and IT industry is still hiring net positive year on year, but not enough, not as much as they used to. The major opportunity is in reskilling, and I think gearing ourselves for the reskilling opportunity is what we have been working on. Some of the programs like StackRoot and others that have gained momentum also, and we have many more such programs in the offing. So I think what our approach will be, banking, BFSI sector overall, and I'll ask Prakash to talk about what we are doing in BFSI sector, and technology, both will remain the single largest employers, and our focus will remain on not only getting freshers, but also focus on reskilling. I'll tell Prakash to throw a light on how we are addressing that space.
In BFSI? As well as technology.
In particularly in the banks, we see a shift in the kind of roles that are available in the banks. So earlier, it used to be roles which had to do with operations. What we now see is a very, very large requirement in a role which talks about customer relationship, excellence in service, some bit of fintech, and a lot of domain knowledge. And this is not true just of the banks, this is true of the entire BFSI sector, including insurance. And we are seeing a lot of companies, four or five of them have come to us asking for these skills. So I think we are just geared up to now offer these kind of courses instead of the ones that we used to offer before, which had much to do with the operations in a bank. So that's a huge shift that we see, and we see a much larger opportunity because it's not just by the banks, it's also the non-banking sector and the insurance sector. And yet we would be in this quarter moving heavily in that direction. With respect to IT, as I will just echo what we just said, it has to do with huge amount of reskilling that we see as an opportunity. And we also see opportunities in the fresh intake, especially with programs such as full stack in Java programming and things like that. There seems to be a requirement. So that's something which we are again looking at in this quarter.
So this kind of skills training is given to existing employees or to freshers?
Both. To both.
Okay. And as far as the BFSI is concerned, do you give training for entrance exam and all the stuff for banks, or this is not part of NIT?
No, we don't do it. We don't do that at all.
Okay. Okay. This is basically for people who are already, for banking skills. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sumit Bajaj, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity. My question was one on the online business. So what I gather is like 70 million is the revenue visibility as of now. And in the last quarter, if I believe it was 50 million. So how much of revenue has been booked in Q2 and how much of incremental revenue booking is expected out of the online business?
Yeah, couple here. Some of that 70 million is the fee bookings that we've done, which is equivalent to order intake. Of that, 14 million was realized as revenue on quarter. That 70 million is a cumulative number since launch. We've just completed 1 year since launch. And that number highlights that within the first 12 months, we've been able to achieve over $1 million of order intake in the online learning space, which is compared to some of the other more popular e-learning tests, is a meaningful number. The fact that we did that while targeting the India market only makes it more remarkable.
My second question was on the corporate lending. So numbers in the Q2 must be reflecting the depreciation in the currency which have happened over the last quarters. So do we think even after that the margins have remained quite at the 16% level? So it's really remarkable from that side.
Yes, indeed, it's true. What
is the impact of currency on 14
right.
million? So our EBITDA would have been higher by 14 million more in corporate learning in case we had done it on constant currency.
Okay, fine. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon to the management team. Couple of questions. First is, in the corporate learning business, do we expect the seasonality which used to happen earlier, wherein 3Q was the strongest quarter of the year? Because of change in accounting, would it be more a uniform kind of revenue recognition?
Indeed, we do not see as much seasonality, or we do not expect as much seasonality anymore. Though, given that this business is predominantly transacted in the United States and Europe, and their accounting systems aligned to calendar years. And so we see some increase in Q3 and some dip in our Q4, but it's mostly linear going forward given the accounting change.
Sure. And sir, in skills and career business, on our restated numbers in IND AS, the margins have come down to 3%, which was earlier 8% as per IND GAAP. So what has really happened? Because it seems like whatever has been the change in revenue was the simple flow-through effect on the PAT level earlier. So if you could explain, because of change in accounting, what has happened with here in this business?
Can Amit, would you like to answer?
Yeah.
What she's saying is, why have... Maybe you could do a reconciliation and send it to them.
So, I mean, the revenue was 98 crore as of in GAAP accounting, and now the revenue accounted for is 91 crores. And the PAT from 8 crores has come down to 3 crores. So whatever has been the change in revenue has been the change in PAT as well, broadly. So seems like, you know, I mean, more clarity on this is required because margin change has been quite steep because of change in accounting.
Okay, maybe it is best that we revert to you with the reconciliation and help you understand how that has happened and what policy affects that.
And so, I mean, related question is, here again, 2Q used to be the strongest quarter seasonally, 1Q and 2Q, and typically 2H used to be weak. So where do we stand in terms of our guidance for this business now that 1H has not panned out on expected lines and 2Q as it is seasonally weak for this business? I mean, 2H is seasonally weak for this business.
So my one response to that will be that given Ind AS, part of seasonality gets looked after because the courses get extended. I mean, the revenue gets recognized as you service the course. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the same comment that you made for CLG is actually more valid for skills and careers. Okay. But
right.
Having said that, very short courses, you would still see a little bit of seasonality in Q2. However, the profile of the courses have changed. And maybe Prakash, you want to talk about the profile of the courses and why Q3 can be better than Q2, for example.
I think there are two big reasons. One is we expect many of the engineers who have not got jobs as yet to come in. that is one, which DT courses serve. And the other is that we are moving to an area where we used to look at banking only, but we are looking at banking and insurance with a complete different kind of portfolio. Number of jobs, as indicated to us by four companies that have come to us. I think these are two big things that I could think of.
Sure. And so if I can squeeze in one more, why did we get into losses in our schools business? The expected ramp down in the government business is still appreciable, but believing that those would be low margin businesses, it should ideally lead an improvement in margins rather than getting into losses in that business.
I think that's a good question. As I pointed out, there are two reasons I could allocate for that. The first reason is that, as we mentioned, that there was a ramp down of government contracts and there is a tail of those expenses that continue beyond the ramp down. But the more important point here is that, as I pointed out earlier, 73% of our business is IP-related, and that business is very highly seasonal. Most of that business is transacted between January and May of each year. And so we see substantial spikes in revenue during those months, and we see moderate to low revenues for the IP-led business in the rest of the months. And therefore, we see losses. We see a loss in the current quarter of this year.
Sure, sir. And sir, one last question. What would be the B2B business component in SNC?
Maybe what we will do is we will provide you a cut of those numbers by way of email. Will that help?
Sure, sir. That would be helpful. Yeah, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may press star 1 on your phone.
So while I think people are getting ready for questions, since we have both Shailesh and DJ from US here with us, I would like them to talk a little bit about the corporate learning business, the funnel, as well as the kind of wins that we are seeing in future.
Hello everyone, this is Selesh. So I think the corporate learning business where we essentially are in the learning outsourcing business continues to perform at a very healthy clip for us. There are a couple of trends that are emerging which are very exciting. The number of new contracts that we are acquiring this year has been better than we have done any time before. We are also, so from the start of the year, we've had a number of wins. Many of these have been takeaways from key competitors, which is always a good sign, where NIT's market positioning is strengthening very rapidly as a leading provider of managed training services. Our pipeline looks fairly healthy. We are on track to look at, again, a fairly good number of new wins and new deals in Q3 and Q4 as well. So overall, I am quite positive about the outlook of the business, not only on what we did in Q2, but going forward in Q3 and Q4 as well.
Do you have any comments?
So it's been a busy quarter for CLG with a couple of big transitions that we have executed successfully. And based on you know, the pipeline and the deals that we closed in Q2, there are a couple of critical transitions which are lined up. And we have been busy at setting up those transitions and making sure that we can you know, get these customers live in time.
You may like to talk about Rico.
Yeah. And a bit of news on Rico. You know, we have set up the entire team in Canada to do the production work for all the content that we are building at this point in time. And we have the first few deliverables have been signed off by Rico, where the entire project plan has been signed off, and we are already producing some high-level designs for the initial few courses. We are, as far as the team setup and ramp-up is concerned, we are pretty much set there. We have people, boots on the ground, who are actually producing content at this point in time. So it's been great going. Rico has appreciated all the initial work that has happened, and we have some good set of subject matter experts who are helping us in the development.
Okay. Operator, are there other questions?
Yes, sir. The next question is from the line of Ruchi Burde from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you. I also need clarification. With the new reporting way, if I look at the order intake number, it reads at 32.9 million, up 94% YOY, wherein when we declared last year number, the fresh order intake was 26.9 million. And does the accounting has some impact on the way we are reporting YOY growth, or is there something else which you would like to explain?
I think you're right. There is an accounting treatment that has caused that to happen. As you're aware, we changed the accounting system this fiscal year, and because of the Ind AS treatment having been applied, the pass-through revenue or order intake is not counted in our books, and therefore it is reduced from the numbers starting last quarter. So, as well as, you know, from a comparison perspective, Ind AS comparison perspective, same quarter last year. So, from that point of view, a very substantial jump in order intake.
Okay. Also, last year we didn't pay out any dividend. Is there some thoughts regarding dividend payout for this fiscal year?
The dividend payout is a matter which gets discussed in the board, and at this point of time, board has not declared any dividend for this year as well.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Harshal Gandhi from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Is the intention to monetize NIT stake in...
I'm sorry, sir. The voice is echoing. Can you please use the handset?
Yes, sir. Is the intention to monetize NIT stake in NIT technology still intact given an attractive offer from a suitor?
I think it's an old question, but it has the same answer. At the right time, at the right place. There is no plan as we speak.
Okay, so next question is, what are the odds of the company gaining escape velocity in the current fiscal?
I think that's a good question. I think as you may have predicted, the corporate learning business has started achieving escape velocity. The skills and career business is on the dock, hoping to take off this coming half year, and the schools business is somewhere in the orbit, hopefully ready to get beyond the atmosphere. Did that answer your question?
So can you just elaborate more on this?
The physics part or... I think, like I pointed out, say that again.
So, Eric, mathematically, can you just elaborate on this?
May I suggest that we stick to the contents of the call, not get into the mathematics of escape velocity. I think in the sense that Sapnesh meant. What he's saying is that Corporate Learning Group has already demonstrated that in good measure and consistently so over the last many quarters and is continuing to be in a strong shape given the strong order book as well as the new contracts that CLG has seen. The skills and careers business had begun on a forward journey. However, at this point of time, given the uncertainties or changes which took place in the environment, which hopefully are transitionary and in long term will actually benefit us, there has been a slight time for us to reflect and build new products. And in the school phase, where we are still a little further because the transition of the business from the old government schools business to a new IP-led private schools business, where again, by the way, the regulatory framework is again undergoing a change, I think is a reality which we would have to live with for the next few quarters.
Oh. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Siddharth Vora from Reliance. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question was on Corporate Learning Group. Our margins of 16% was an improvement this quarter. This was in spite transition costs for RECO, or it was because the transition cost was more or less done last quarter and this quarter we are seeing the correct margins?
The RECO-related cost started in... and will continue till March of 2019. So those costs are not complete as yet. However, like I said earlier, last quarter we acquired three new customers and this quarter we have added five additional contracts. Each of those contracts has a transition cost and as you may have noticed, our velocity of acquiring customers has increased. That has resulted into higher levels of transition cost each quarter. So
From an overall perspective, your comment is right. We have high transition costs. The RICO-related costs will carry on till March of 2019.
No, but he's saying what is the accounting treatment of the RICO costs?
The accounting treatment of RICO costs are seen as prepaid and not part of...
amortized over the contract period.
Right. And they will get amortized over the contract period, which is over a 8-year period.
Correct. So the current EBITDA margins of 16% are what you say clean margins, and they don't include the transition costs, or we are actually...
They don't include RICO.
Yeah, they do not include transition related costs of RICO. However, like I said, there are 8 contracts in transition at this point in time, and they do include transition costs for those 8 contracts. One other thing to point out is that Forex has played a role both as you look at top line as well as bottom line. Without Forex impact, or including Forex impact, we would have done an equivalent of 14 million INR more in EBITDA.
Okay. Got it. In terms of our schools business, we've had this profitability decline because of the government business ramp down. But for on a full year basis, if you adjust for the seasonality, as you said, we are confident of matching last year's profitability of 5%?
We feel that we will do that. As I mentioned, Q4 is a large quarter and a lot depends on that quarter. And we are preparing well for this for the last quarter, that's quarter ending March 31st. We have strengthened our product portfolio as well as our sales team to achieve that.
Okay. Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, there, we have the answer to the question relating to Ind AS and IGAAP reconciliation for SNC. So, Amit Roy, the CFO, will answer that.
The answer for that Ind AS from IGAAP to Ind AS in B2C business, the earlier it was based on mix of milestone and straight line. Now it has become fully straight line, and hence the revenue smoothening and lower spikes in revenue you will see in the years to come.
And therefore the Q2 spike will actually smoothen out over Q3 and
Q4. Does it reply to your question?
Okay.
We move to the next question from the line of Harshal Gandhi from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
So, one question. So, are we on track to meet the guidance given at the start of the year?
As we said, for the corporate learning business, we are reiterating the guidance of 15% growth and improvement in profitability on a constant currency basis. As far as our skills and career business is concerned, like I pointed out, we are expecting it to grow in the second half of the year. With respect to our skills and career business, the go-forward part of the skills and career business, which is the IP-led business, which now constitutes with respect to our schools business, the go-forward part of our schools business, which is predominantly IP-led and is 73% of that business right now, we expect to see growth in that business as well.
Okay, so just a clarification. So in skills and careers, you are expecting revenue and EBITDA in single-digit growth?
Yes, for the second half of the year.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star and one on your phone.
As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your questions. As usual, these questions give us good indications to how we should plan out our strategy. We will keep looking for your support as well as cooperation as we go forward. And please do give us feedback on our performance like you have been very candidly giving, as well as give us suggestions of how might we improve upon our performance in future. So I know it's a busy season for results, and as we speak, I know there are 3-4 other conference calls where you would like to be there. So if there are no more questions, then we would like to bring this call to a close and look forward to interacting with you on a one-on-one basis whenever you need. There are no pending points left because there was a point on IGAP and INDAS reconciliation that has also been responded to in the call. In case there are any questions, please don't hesitate to write to Kapil Saurabh on the email address or the CFO or Sapnesh Rala, and we'll be very happy to address those questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.